Turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 6. I'm going to do two or three messages on the subject matter of accountability. Now in Mark 6, just to get the context, John the Baptist had charged Herod with adultery for having an unlawful wife. And Herodias, his wife, got mad about it. And one day they were throwing a party, and it was a birthday party. And he made a supper to all the important people of his entourage, if you will. And Herodias' daughter came out and danced suggestively. And it pleased Herod so much, he said, "Tell me, you know, what you want, and I'll give you up to half, I'll give you half of my kingdom." Of course, she went and asked her mom, "Wow, he said he'd give me up to half the kingdom." She said, "I want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. Bring the head of John the Baptist who accused us of wrongdoing and adultery." And that's what he did. He chopped off the head of one of the greatest preachers that God raised up and brought his head, verse 28, in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Now how calloused and cold do you have to be as a young woman to be able to, somebody brings you the freshly severed head of a man of God and it not bother you? Took it right to her mother, and that was what happened to John the Baptist. Now it says in verse 29 that the disciples heard about this, and they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. I'm not sure what happened to his head. But I can guarantee you that in the resurrection, his body will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of an unusual intro. But read the next verse. After they buried John the Baptist in a tomb, it says in verse 30, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." This speaks of accountability. They told the Lord what they had done, what they had said. Now there's a similar passage that relates to the judgment seat of Christ over in Romans chapter 14. Now, interestingly enough, this certainly their hearts had to be saddened by the death of John the Baptist, but that did not at all diminish their responsibility to give an account to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are going to happen in our lives, but we are still accountable to serve God. It says in Romans 14 and verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This ought to ring true. This ought to cause us to really wake up. We are accountable to God. And from these texts that we've read, it is apparent that every believer, every child of God, is going to stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and mind you, the one who died for us, who suffered in our stead, who took the punishment that we deserved, and eternity in the lake of fire, He took that on our behalf and brought us to faith in Him, gave us His righteousness, put His Spirit within us, gave us the Word of God to guide our lives, and charged us with responsibility to live for Him. This is the one that we're going to stand before at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of what we have said, what we have done, what we have taught, how we have lived in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're also going to give an account of our motivation, why we did what we did. Accountability. There's coming a day when our words, our works, our motives will be brought into the light of God's holiness to be tried. Now, that day of Christian accountability is often referred to as the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema seat, borrowing from the Olympic Games of the day and age in which Paul lived. And this day of accountability is a fact that every believer will be examined by God for what they've done. Now, I'm going to explain this as we go on, but the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with your sins. It has everything to do with your service. Your sins have already been judged on Calvary. We'll look at that more extensively. Now, this is going to be solely this judgment seat will be it'll be solely on your service and your motives for service. Your thoughts, your deeds, your actions. You know, most people are scared to death of an IRS audit. I've never been audited. I've been harassed a little bit by the IRS. And I think in days to come that Christian people are going to be harassed even more. But nobody wants to go through an IRS audit. Mainly because it makes you nervous to think you got to get all your records together, all your receipts and all of those things, and make sure they're all lined out. And even then, you can make a mistake. The IRS can make a mistake. Yes, the experts can make mistakes. But you know what? The examination that you and I are going to face at the judgment seat, there'll be no mistakes. There'll be no errors because the one who will do the examination knows everything about us. He knows every thought we've ever had in our minds. He knows every word we've ever spoken. He knows everything that we've ever done. Now I wonder Are you prepared? You know, this is one of the responsibilities of a pastor. If you look over at Hebrews chapter 13, you'll see where Paul tells the Hebrew believers in 13 and verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then if you'll look over into verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's a sense in which God has given me a responsibility not to rule over your lives, but to teach you the truth, to practice the truth, to live it out before you. And if I'm teaching and preaching the truth, it is incumbent upon you to take that truth, make application of that truth, and in such a way it prepares you for this day of accountability. And on my end, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that will prepare you to hear the most blessed words that you'll ever hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want you, as Christians and as members of the Lord's church on Buffalo Creek, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, I want you to be able to stand before the Lord to receive your rewards that you've done in your body, and that God will be well pleased with your life. Certainly, I want that for my own life as well. You know, I don't think people are aware that every day we've got to live in the light of this idea that we are accountable to God. There in Genesis, it was Abraham that said, "Thou, God, seest me." And it would do all of us well to remember that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I want you to be prepared. And I fear that many Christians go about their everyday lives without giving much thought at all to their personal accountability. Part of it is due to the fact that our society is breaking down and it's influencing you. We are in a society more and more that encourages people to have no accountability whatsoever. No accountability to the law, no accountability to God. No, kids are being taught that they're not accountable to their parents. They can lie and deceive and do whatever and get away with it. In our society, teachers are teaching that in some places. No accountability. We're seeing it in our government. There's no accountability for actions and for wrongdoing. And that attitude, that environment, it affects people. And so there's times you need to be arrested. You need to be made aware that God, the Almighty, you're going to stand before Him. And you're going to give an account of what you did, why you did it. You have personal accountability. And the Bible makes it clear this is true for everybody. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, we always quote that verse. But then the last verse of Ecclesiastes says, for God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Accountability. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Now, first of all, today we're going to establish the basis of our accountability before God. Now, this covers everybody. Lost people who don't believe in Jesus, who've never trusted Christ, they are accountable to God. Believers are accountable to God. Now, why is that? Why is this an important truth? Well, and what's the basis of it? The most basic reason why all men are accountable to God for their speech, their actions, is because God's the Creator. He is the owner of all things. God owns everything that you inhabit. Everything that you have really, by divine right, belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. God has sovereign rights over everything that He owns. Now you may say, your objection may be, well, they're teaching me in school that there's no God, there's no Creator, therefore I have no accountability to this higher being. Now you may be taught that. And I'm going to tell you that an overwhelming majority of people, educators, politicians, governmental leaders, people that go to work every day, an overwhelming majority of people believe that. They believe in evolution. But you know, that doesn't make it right. Not when you have the first verse of the Bible that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I'm taking God at His Word. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, the very first person that they recommend, that is recommended in the Hall of Faith, is somebody who believes that God's the Creator. Because they believe something that they cannot... We weren't there when it happened. We were not eyewitnesses to it. We take it by faith. And it makes good sense. I preached on this last Sunday night, I think it was, when I talked about God as the Creator and how that nobody would ever think a Fitbit watch would just come together by a big bang and by just a random circumstances, and that all the components in it that measure your heart rate and all of that somehow just was all jumbled and disconnected. Whoo, boom. One day it came all together and they put it on Tom Ross's wrist. And it's tracking his steps. Nobody thinks that way, do they? When you look at a Fitbit or a watch, you say, somebody designed that. Somebody put that together. I'm going to tell you something. The human body is much more complicated than a Fitbit. The universe and the complexity of it, the firmament, the stars, the moon, the sun, everything. There's much more complexity there. I guarantee it didn't happen by chance. It didn't happen by some mixture of gases and all of a sudden, one day they sparked a big bang and bang, and Then you had an amoeba somehow form, and that amoeba got to crawling around, and it got a tail, and it somehow swam up on shore, and it became a reptile, and then it climbed a tree and became an ape, and then it went to Harvard and it became a man. That's nonsense. Now you're getting it. It's nonsense. It's a lie from hell. And I'm going to tell you something. Churches all over the place have bought in and compromised with the heresy of evolution. They're not teaching creation anymore. I believe in a literal six-day creation. And as I've said many times, how could he do that in 6 days? He could have done it in 6 seconds if it would have pleased him to do so. But there was a principle that he was setting forth. Yes, God is the Creator. I don't believe for a minute that the universe, that this whole earth and everything in it is billions of years old. Don't believe it for a minute. I do not agree with natural selection and Darwinism. I believe God. It puts me in the minority. But you know what else it does? If you really believe God is the Creator, that He is the owner of all things, you recognize instinctively that you're accountable to the One who brought everything into being. You're accountable to the One who gave you a soul in conception. You're accountable to God. Deuteronomy brings this out. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Notice, this. What's the basis of this command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength? He's your Creator. You are accountable and responsible to Him. We need to teach this to our children because they're not being taught it. We're living in a day where people think that they can change the way that they were created, that the way that their DNA exists. And it's an impossibility. It's a biological impossibility. And we do need to teach our boys that they are boys. That's what they're going to be their entire life. You can't change your DNA. Our girls are going to be girls. Biologically, there is a difference between men and women, and they're good differences. I'm glad that my wife's not like me. Now, these things are not being taught in our day, and as a result, people think they can just do whatever they feel like doing. Everything's about feelings. I'm here to tell you something. God's commandments, His Word, trumps your feelings. Well, that's so offensive. Nobody ever talks to me that way. Well, I love you. I want you to know the truth. There's a lot of things that will offend you because you're doing wrong. And you don't want to know about it. You don't want to People don't want to hear that they're sinners, that they need to repent, that their only hope is in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that is a stumbling block. It's an offense to people. And yet that's the message we've been called to preach to everyone throughout all the world as the only means of salvation. So offenses will come. But see, I don't purposely just try to make people mad. My desire, I want to see people saved. I want to see people embrace the truth. I want to see evolutionists renounce their heresy and say, I'd love for a politician one day to get up and say, I've been all wrong. I've been sinning against God, but I have fully trusted in Christ. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Bible, that God is the Creator. Christ is the Redeemer. I recommend Him to you. Wouldn't it be marvelous? Now, they'd probably hang him right there if he ever did that. First basis, God is the Creator. You're accountable to Him. Young people, you say, well, I'm just a young teenager. You're accountable to God. You are responsible before God for what you do, what you say, how you respond to your parents. Because right now, your parents are your authority. First God, then your parents. And there's a reason why God gave you the parents that you have. It's all under the umbrella of His authority. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting here today, you are so blessed to have parents that care enough to instruct you in the things of God and bring you to church. Say, but I don't like you, preacher. Well, there's a lot of people that don't like me. But the fact is, I'm teaching the truth of the Word of God. Your parents obviously believe that. They want what's best for you. They want you to hear the gospel. They want you to walk in God's ways. And you're responsible to cheerfully obey. See? It's accountability. You're accountable to God. You're accountable to your parents. My dad's still alive. He's pushing 85. I'm accountable to him. He's my dad. That never, ever stops. You say, but what if he's done something wrong? Well, he's accountable to God for that. The second basis of our accountability before God is the fact that He's the sovereign King and lawgiver. God is not only the Creator, He's the lawgiver. He's the one that gave the moral law. And He demands obedience out of all of His subjects. And as responsible moral agents, men, women, boys, and girls are accountable to God as the supreme lawgiver. He gave the law. Everybody here ought to be familiar with the law of God, the moral law, the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are your responsibility to God, your duty to God. The last six commandments flow from that as a basis and your responsibility to man. And I'm here to tell you that if a society were built just on the moral law of God and there was a conscience of that, you'd have a much better society than one where man thinks he's his own law to himself. Because men are wicked. Men are deceived and depraved. God is the lawgiver. And as such, you're responsible to Him. Ecclesiastes 3:15 says, and God requireth that which is past. God is going to require accountability for everything you've ever done. Now, you know what your responsibility is to the law? This is going to blow your mind. If you really grasp this, you remember that sermon I preached on the Great Commandments? Remember that one? Where Jesus said the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Remember that sermon? Oh, it's not ringing a bell. In that sermon, I brought out, in fact, I may preach it. It's one of my favorite sermons. I preach it everywhere. You're responsible. Every thought is to be brought into line with God's perfect law. Every thought. All of your mental energy is to be aimed at loving God. All of your inward energy, your soul, the real you, your heart, your affections, your desires, your longings, is to be regulated by this one principle. I am to love God with every fiber of my being. That's what the law requires. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday morning. No. Every moment of every day, of every year, of every decade, this is what you're responsible to do. Now, what are you saying to yourself? Gosh, man, he's crazy. I know I don't obey that like that every day, every moment, every year. That's precisely what the law wants you to see, that you're a sinner. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. God's glory, the excellency of His perfection says, this do. Do what flows from my nature. Obey these laws. And when you rebel and you sin, sin is the transgression of the law. You should have a feeling in your heart that you're wrong. You feel guilt. And that leads you to see that you can't be saved by keeping the law. Because all the law does is say, you're falling short right here. Christ is the only one that can redeem you from the curse of the law, because He fulfilled all the law. Yes, every moment of every day of His life, He was without any sin. He was not defiled in any way, shape, or form. And He was willing to take that perfect obedience and that righteousness to the cross to give Himself as an acceptable sacrifice and shed His life's blood and give His life, literally, for all those who believe on Him. And it's pretty amazing to me when I think that God loves me so much, He sent His own Son to do something for me that I was totally incapable of doing, and then give me the grace, the gift of faith to believe on Him. You're accountable to God. He is the supreme lawgiver. And you're accountable to God. Now this is another one. If you really get a hold of it, it'll change the way you think. You realize you're personally accountable to God because God is omniscient. Omni, all. Omniscient. Very careful how I say that. Omniscient. He knows all. He sees all. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Wow. God knows what you're thinking about right now. He knows everything that you said on your way to church this morning. You ever had those mornings? I remember when my kids were little. Oh, man. We had some tussles, brother. And we only had a half mile to drive to church. I can't imagine somebody coming 20 minutes away when everybody's mad at each other and somebody doesn't know. Oh! Man, things could break out. But God sees it all. He knows our attitude. When we come into the house of God, thou God seest me every moment of every day. And you know, I think He records everything. If you're lost, Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, if you are at the great white throne judgment, you are being judged for your sins. And what is going to take place there, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ and believed on Him, at that judgment, everything you've ever done that's been recorded is somehow going to be revealed before you. And it will determine, your works are going to determine your punishment, where you will spend your place in the lake of fire. Because I believe that there are degrees of punishment. You look at somebody like Charles Darwin, all right, who was the motivator, if you will, of people denying the Bible and that God, I believe his place in the lake of fire is going to be extremely hot. God is going to judge you. And you're going to be guilty. And I deserve to be at that judgment. I look at my life. I deserve to stand at the great white throne judgment. But because of grace, I'll never face that. If I die today, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus Christ saved my soul. But if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. And then, at the resurrection of the damned, your body will be raised and you'll be stand before the great white throne judgment. And all your works are going to be shown. And you'll say amen to your own damnation when you stand before God in all of His holiness. You're accountable. Teach your kids accountability in a world where there is very little of it. May God work in our hearts. Now, next week, I'm going to deal more specifically with what's going to happen with the believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's all stand.